Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest.
Hey, it's time for coffee, and I am so dang excited about it. Today we have Kelsey Graham, whose husband is Caleb Graham of Anthem Lights, and Caleb and Kelsey together form their own group called Caleb and Kelsey, and they sing some incredible mashups, and I'm a huge fan of Anthem Lights, and I'm a huge fan of Caleb and Kelsey and what they're doing on the online space in music and in faith. Gosh, I'm so excited. Today, Kelsey is here to talk about her new book, Over It, where she tells her story of really just hitting rock bottom and finding the Lord and overcoming it all. I'm so thankful for women like Kelsey who tell their stories in such unique ways so that in turn others can see themselves but also see another way out. So I'm so excited for you to meet Kelsey and to listen to this episode. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in.
Hey friends, I'm so excited to be sitting down with Kelsey Graham. Guys, I just had to tell her how excited I was to meet and talk to her because I am a huge fan of yours and your husband's music, Kelsey. It's so much fun to like see the people and get to know the people behind their art. And so, guys, we're sitting down with Kelsey Graham today. We're going to talk about her book, Over It. We're going to talk about motherhood and so much more. So, Kelsey, hi!
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Gosh, that was a very kind introduction. I appreciate it so much. And it's truly my honor to be here. So thank you for having me.
Oh, so much fun. I know that you don't like shallow conversation and neither do I. So I just can only imagine where this is going to go. Like this is just going to be like a friendship conversation for the ages.
I was going to say, should we warn them to brace themselves?
Yeah, we're coming in hot.
First
question, Kelsey, what's in your cup? Yeah, what are you drinking this afternoon?
So, don't judge me, but it's actually bone broth in my cup right now, which is so
weird. That's good,
though.
That's good.
But, okay, I'm on this kind of new pursuit of gut health, and I know that a lot of people are familiar with that and just, like, the overall how it makes you feel when your gut is healthy. And bone broth is like one of the best things you can do for that. So I'm trying to do this every day. And honestly, it's like, it's pouring down rain in Nashville right now. It's dark. Like I have all the lights on and it's still dark in here. And this just feels like a little warm hug to me this afternoon. So that's what's in my cup, as weird as that sounds.
That's so fun. I always think, and I know it's not this way, but I always think of bone broth as like chicken broth. I'm like, but I know that it's different in a sense, but I'm like, you would just be like drinking.
It's only slightly different. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like the soup without all the stuff in it. So it's basically just chicken broth, but like a healthier version of that has protein. So yeah, very weird, but that is what's in my cup.
That's fun. Well, I already kind of like offended you, but I already was like, how Nashville are you? Come on. And so we're just adding to that Nashville sense here.
We are. I am who I am.
That's right. Okay, Kelsey, for those who have lived under a rock for the last 10 years, can you please tell us who you are and just a little bit about what you do? Because it is just so fun to hear it.
Yeah, of course. So about probably 8 years ago now, Caleb and I were dating. Actually, I think we were engaged. And we both came from separate musical groups. Like I was in a girl band and he was in a boy band and still actually is a part of that band to this day. But we started singing together and it started as something that we did just kind of for fun on the side. And it grew to be this whole thing. Now we're a duo. It's Caleb and Kelsey and we sing for a living together. And it's so fun. And we feel incredibly blessed to get to do what we love together. So there's all of these different layers that I'm thankful for, but the fact that we get to work together and sing together and make music together is just really, it's really special. So that's kind of how we came to be. We do all kinds of music. Most people are probably familiar with our worship stuff, but we do a little bit of everything. We've done some country, some pop. We've put out an original song, and there's more to come where that came from. So dropping little hints along the way. And yeah, the future is hopefully bright for us. And so that's kind of what landed us where we are now.
I love that so much. I love your guys's Never Enough from The Greatest Showman.
Oh my gosh. That's probably, that will go down as one of my favorite movies, probably of all time. It is, I still can't watch it without crying. It's incredible. So well done. The music is untouchable. It's just incredible.
Yeah. I think it's a movie for dreamers is what I think it is. And I think that's why it resonates so much with so many people in different seasons of life or different stages even, because it is a movie that speaks to this like dreamer in all of us. I like, you want to get me like hyped up over like dreamer stuff. It's like, we'll talk about Walt Disney and Disney World and The Greatest Showman. Yep. And then I will get so high up on a soapbox to tell us all how we should be dreaming bigger dreams and going for it. Those two things are like my passion.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I couldn't agree more.
Okay. And on top of singing and doing and writing, you just wrote your first book called Over It, but you're also a mom. But let's talk about Over It first, because this is like your story. And I'm just really excited to kind of hear your heart behind Over It and like, where did it start for you?
Yeah, for sure. That's such a good question. So Over It just came at a point in my life where I kind of came face to face with the reality that my story is a product of a very tumultuous past. And what brought me to that place of brokenness was this incessant need to live up to the expectations of what I thought other people had of me, right? I grew up a pastor's kid, so I understood at a very early age. I mean, I was a really little girl, that people were watching me from all angles and people expected me to be a certain thing. And that certain thing to me felt like perfection. It felt like what they expected of me was that I was to be perfect and I was to be the best Christian and I was to carry myself a certain way and to say certain things and not say other things and to present myself in a way that was very put together. And so from a really young age, I developed these internal, it was just an internal battle, you know, this wanting to live up to what I knew people wanted me to be. And at the very same time, this simultaneous desire to want to flee from that and just step into who I felt like I was made to be. And those things were always conflicting. Those two things were always at war in my spirit. And ultimately, I mean, I was a really good girl and people coined me the good girl in school. I was the good girl, who never got in trouble, who never did anything wrong and who always just had a really upheld image, you know? And I want to make a point to say something here. There is never anything wrong with being good and the pursuit of being good. Like I believe with all of my heart that when God created us and when he said it was good, when he looked at his children and his creation, I believe that to be true. We are good. We are inherently good because we belong to God and we are bearers of his image. But when being good becomes your identity, the only thing that you're after, things get lost along the way. Because the reality is humans, the human experience is messy. We are multifaceted people with all different kinds of sides to us. We are messy and we're beautiful. We are put together and we're not. We are good and we're bad. You know what I mean? Like we're capable of all of these things at the very same time. To me, it was never either or. It was always and. Like we are both things at the same time. But ultimately, my need to live up to these expectations culminated in a sexually abusive relationship in college that led to a suicidal night on a bridge here in Nashville. I mean, that is the reality of my story. I felt like I was never living up to the things that people needed me to be, and I was crushing under the pressures of them all, you know? And so it led me to rock bottom. And ultimately, I got out of that pit of despair that I thought I would never climb out of. I did. I got help, professional help. Like, I went to counseling and did months and months and months of deep therapy, you know, to get through it. And my book is a redemption story. It is all of those dark things I talk about. I don't shy away from anything. Like, I went there in my book. And because I hope that in being honest about my story and my journey, it propels and inspires someone else that hears it to know that A, you're not alone, and B, it's time to tell our stories. It's time to talk about where we've been, because it helps us become who we are, and it helps us know that we are not living in isolation. Like, when we think that we are, we're not alone. Someone else has been down that road and has gone before you, and we're here to help each other. Like, we were not created to do life alone. And so this book is a culmination of all of those things. And just, if you're a woman living in today's society and you're listening to this, if you didn't grow up a pastor's kid with all of those kinds of expectations placed on you, you know, we're all scrolling through them now. You know what I mean? Like, we have our phones. Yeah. We know what society is telling us that we have to be. And none of us can live up to it because it's not real. You know what I mean? And so these are the things that I just kind of want to start shedding tons of light on and blowing up with sticks of dynamite. What the expectations are, because they're unattainable. Like, that is not what God created us for. God created us for a purpose and to be used for a certain thing. And I want us to start as women to step into those things boldly and leave everything else in the dust behind us.
Yes, absolutely. I too am a pastor's kid, and where I was taught to, I wasn't necessarily like held to perfection, but I was held to, your behavior reflects on me, the pastor. And so it was a very, very,
yes.
It was difficult because it was very much like, hey, mm-hmm. everything that you do reflects on me. And that has been something I've had to really, really make sure I shake from my own kids and how I parent, because I was like, well, your guys' attitude is making me look like a terrible mom. And where that's not true, like, all of us, we have our own sin nature. It's so interesting. But I think that the idea of sharing these stories is breaking us out of isolation, because when we hear that, like, oh my gosh, Kelsey, like, that's such a depth of despair. I'm so sorry you were there. Here's a situation where I felt this way. Or once we start sharing that, the lie of isolation goes away, because we aren't so alone anymore. Right. And I think I get asked a lot, like, why did you start a podcast? And I say, because we are the most connected generation, yet we are the loneliest generation. Like, how can we be That's so right. connected on our screens, but so lonely in our homes? And so I think when That's people right. are brave, like you, and sharing your story and saying, like, I'm over it. Like, we're sharing our stuff. We're sharing the highs. And we're sharing the lows, because somebody else needs to know this redemption song. Somebody else needs to know where this is coming from, because it's the biblical. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that's how people see Jesus. And so I just am like, yep,
that's right.
Yep, here, this is exactly it. What has been something that you shared through your story that has been like the most resounding? Like, people are like, oh, me too. Or like, I was there too. Or like, they feel seen now because you saw them because of your story.
You know, where I'm about to head next, like you discussed at the beginning of this, I don't hold back. And this is going to be one of those moments, and it could be triggering for some. That's so good. I want to go ahead and just say that and warn the listeners that, yeah. you know, this part of my story, it's real, but it's hard to hear. And the reason that I'm going to talk about it is because what I've learned along the way is that the more that I share this part of my story specifically, the more I realize that my story is not uncommon. I am not the minority. Okay. Yeah. Like, when I was in college and I entered into this relationship with a man who claimed to love me and treated me terribly behind closed doors, I did the thing that I was so good at. I bent to his will and the things that he wanted and expected of me. And I gave away pieces of myself slowly. Like I made all of these small concessions, right? Because I thought that it would make him happy and that he would love me more if I showed up in the ways that he wanted me to show up. So, you know, you make small concessions here, small concessions there. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know who I am anymore. Who is Kelsey? Yeah. I'm just this girl who's operating out of a place of desperation so that this man will love me. And what happened ultimately is that he began to take pieces of my sexuality that I wasn't ready to give, you know, and it wasn't a conscious decision that I felt like I could make in the moment. It was, this is what I expect of you. Of course, those things were always unspoken. Like he never laid down the law, but physically pushed me to do things I didn't want to do, you know, and I felt trapped in the relationship. And like, I had one responsibility to him, and that was to fulfill the things that he wanted me to fulfill for him. And so ultimately, I mean, when you fast forward in this story and to that night on the bridge where I wanted to end it all and found myself in counseling the following morning, what I didn't understand about my story is that even though I felt at the time that those things that happened sexually between he and I were my fault, they weren't. You know, like I was taking ownership of something that I was never meant to take ownership of. And so in counseling, that was the very first time that I heard the word rape as it pertained to my story. And I had to come to grips with that. Like this man took advantage of me and physically forced me to do things I didn't want to do. And that's called rape. You know, it's hard to digest. It's hard to hear. But that's the reality of what I went through. And it was 9 long months of that before I was able to escape and get out of that relationship, you know, and as difficult as that part of my story is to talk about, even to this day, it's so important to talk about, especially in the conservative Christian circles that we run in, because so often I feel like it's frowned upon to talk about these kinds of topics because they're uncomfortable, right? But the reality is that even in the church, these things are happening. You know, there are women who are being taken advantage of. There are stories of abuse and stories of coercion that I have gotten over and over and over and over again in my inbox from other women who are reading this book. And they're saying, oh my gosh, that was me too. Or I was in a relationship where similar things happened. And it's heartbreaking because it is so common. So the reason that I feel this incredible urge to share my story more openly now than ever is because women are resonating with it and they're saying, I've been down a similar road, or maybe they're in a relationship like that now where somebody is asking them to do things they're not comfortable with or is pulling them out of themselves and they're trying to make them and fashion them into someone else. And that's not a person. I'm here to tell you that person doesn't love you. You know, that is not a healthy relationship. Get out. At whatever it costs, you must get out and find a love that is real. You know, you are worthy of so much more. And so I hope that by me sharing that part of my story, which is dark, it's messy, it's not pretty. You know, I hope that it gives another girl the courage to know that they're worthy of better and more as well. Like it's time, you know, it's time to step into your worth and your inherent value because you're a child of God and he loves you so deeply and wants more for you.
I think it's so important that we just continue to speak that over our people. And I was just reading a book and it talks about how like as people who are, As friends, if somebody comes to us and says like, hey, I think I'm in a toxic relationship. I think this is hurting me. I don't think I'm okay. Instead of being like, they've never presented themselves like that around me. Like I could never. It's like, let's believe our people. Like let's stand by our people and believe them, and walk with them in health.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Do you have a goal to read more books this year? I know I do. My goal is to read 45 books this year, and that means I'm gonna need to up my Audible game because I cannot read as much as I want to, but I can listen while I'm driving, I can listen while I'm doing the dishes, and I can listen while I'm doing any other mundane task. Actually, I really love listening to books while I walk the dogs. That's how I'll be listening to a lot of books this year. I want to extend an offer to you for a free month of Audible. All you have to do is head to audibletrial.com/timeforcoffee to get a free month of Audible. It is so great. Right now, I'm listening to the book Unoffendable. Whew, it is wrecking my world. And I just really love listening to books. It's one of my favorite ways to consume. As you are listening here, I am well aware, or I'm pretty sure you like to listen to things as well. So jump on that Audible train with me and you will not regret it. Get your free month at audibletrial.com/timeforcoffee. Okay, back to today's show. How, as you tell your story, I can only imagine the lies that will that the world will tell us as you share more and as people are connecting more and as like as good is being brought in. How are you fighting shame feelings? Because you don't deserve shame upon you at all. But how, or is that coming up at all? Or is it like, nope, I don't deal with that at all? Like, do you wrestle with
that
at all?
No, you know, that's such a great question. I think I've spent so much of the last decade working through my shame that was attached to that part of my life and that season of my life. I mean, yeah. The reality is there was so much deep-rooted shame and guilt that I felt over all of the decisions, really, that led me to that night on the bridge. You know, like I can sit here and say I was taken advantage of and he, you know, coerced me sexually and, you know, I can deflect blame. But the reality is I made decisions along the way that led me to those moments. You know, there were some things that I was in control of. So there has to be a moment where I take ownership of my part in what happened. You know what I mean? Like, there were a lot of things that were out of my control, but the things that I did control and I felt control over, I had all of this shame around, right? Because I looked back and I was like, I could have made a different decision there. I could have made a different decision there. And I have so much shame around that. And now I have so much remorse, just like I have so much regret. For the longest time I felt that way. But you know, a decade after all of this has happened, I'm finally at a place in my life where I realize that life is too short for us to carry around guilt and shame. And you know what? God doesn't want that for us. Shame and guilt doesn't come from him. So if you're feeling that today, I want to encourage you, that's not coming from God. That comes from ourselves. And, you know, I want you to be able, if you have similar feelings of guilt and shame that I did, and you blamed yourself and you beat yourself up over these things, offer yourself the kind of forgiveness that you would offer your best friend. You know, that would be a good place to start. But shame and regret is not really a part of my vocabulary anymore. I have grown
Good.
So far out of that. You know, I think there are always going to be moments where it rears its ugly head. But, you know, in counseling and in therapy and all of those years of work that I did, I think I've come to a place now where I have the tools in my toolbox to kind of combat those feelings when they come, you know? And so, and I just remind myself, I'm a child of God. I am already loved. I am already good enough in His eyes. And that's enough for me. Like, I am worthy for no other reason than that. You know, like, we are fully, utterly, recklessly loved already. And so if God can love me that way, maybe I can start to love me like that, and I can give myself grace, you know, and I can forgive myself. And so, yeah, shame is just, it's something that we constantly have to step out of, you know, and, it's hard, absolutely. But it's a journey.
Yeah. I think that's so true. And I think that you could be like telling the story over and over again and be like, oh man, where it could find its way back, and you would be like telling it. And so I just, while you were saying that, I was like, man, I really hope that she doesn't struggle with this, because it's not like you said, you've overcome, like you have taken that step. And if it does show up, you're like, hey, we don't do that here. Like we have.
Right.
We
are, you have no place here. This. Shame.
Yes. Yeah. Bye.
We've broken up. Okay. Right.
We are never getting back together, as Taylor tells us.
That's right.
How do you overcome the pressures and expectations that society has placed on us as moms, as women, as a musician? Like, how have you overcome all of these pressures and expectations? Because it feels like there's a new one every day, to be totally honest with you. So how do you battle this yourself?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So this is the part of the story and the journey, to be totally transparent, that I'm not sure we ever reached the other side of, right? This is a journey that we're having to step into every single day and having to make decisions and choices when our feet hit the ground or when we roll out of bed in the morning. We have the choice to wake up in the morning and say, I'm already enough. I am already loved by God. I am already fulfilling my purpose because I'm breathing today, right? Or we can roll over, we can open Instagram, and we can let the world tell us what we need to be that day to find our worth and our value. You know what I mean? Like, this is a journey that's a long, grueling one, because we can't escape it, right? Even if you don't have social media, but you turn on the TV, like, you're going to see these expectations shoved in your face every single day. You know, I wish when I looked in the mirror that I could say I loved every square inch of what stares back at me, but I don't every day. You know, that's just, it's the reality of growing up human. Like, we are, and we're living in an age where perfection is the standard. I mean, and if your body doesn't look that way, then you can change it with an app, or you can change it with a surgery, or you can change it with, I mean, whatever, X, Y, and Z. And I think the resounding message that I still have to challenge myself to lean into every single day is that I'm already good enough. My body's already good enough.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm doing is already good enough. I don't have to kill myself at the gym every day. I don't have to try to attain these unrealistic goals and expectations. Like, my book has been a good reminder to me that, like, if I'm going to talk about this and I'm going to talk about women, like, seeking freedom, you know, and confidence, I have to also be seeking this for myself every single day. Like, this is real, you know, and I need to be pursuing freedom from expectations too, on the regular. Like, no one's exempt from this. So, I mean, we're all in it together. Yeah. We're all in the trenches together.
Absolutely. And I just love what you said even earlier about, like, rolling over instead of grabbing our phones, saying like, okay, I am worthy. I am here for a reason. I am good enough. I am ready to take on the day. Like, just those reminders of saying, like, of choosing yourself before you choose the world, and choosing the Lord before we choose the world. It's such a healthy reminder of how to combat this fallen place.
Absolutely.
So good. the last question I always ask is, what is it time for in your own life right now? What season are you walking in? I love that verse, and it's time for coffee. So it's like, there's a time and a season for everything. So what time or season is it for you right now?
You know, it's really easy because we're recording this right as we're kind of entering into the very beginning stages of the holiday seasons, right? Thanksgiving's in a couple weeks. Christmas is then next month. There's a lot coming up. And I think for me, that season can be really chaotic and really hectic. And, you know, we're putting out new music for Christmas. And, you know, I feel like the more people that I talk to, the more I realize that other people feel this way too. The holiday season is so crazy. Like, it's so crazy when really, yeah. What I would love to see happen personally for me in this season is to slow down. Like, I want to slow down and take in the moments and sit in the moment, you know, be present in the moment. And so I'm looking to this holiday season with this idea in mind of not speeding up, but quite the opposite, and slowing down. You know, I would love there to be less craziness. And so that's kind of what I'm pursuing the next couple of months. And I hope that some people listening to this will join me in that. Like, let's just take a moment. It's been a really rough couple of years for a lot of people. You know, there's been so much change and so much political contention and just fighting, and the world is a different place today than it was 2 years ago, you know, and for so many reasons. Yeah. And so my hope is that families would come together and that they would choose to slow down, soak each other in, and just listen, you know, listen, be there for each other. Let's just try to make this holiday season less chaotic. And again, I know this is going to come out in January. So if, you know, when you're listening to this, and I hope that coming out of the holidays, we can all feel like, wow, I actually was present in the moment. You know, I was there. I didn't miss anything. And it wasn't crazy. In fact, I feel really refreshed and ready to start a new year. And so that's kind of the season that I would like to step into.
I think it's so good. Have you seen that thing that's like a meme online that says, like, being an adult is saying it'll slow down next month. It'll slow down next month. It'll slow down until next month. And so I totally agree. It's like, if we just take some time. Yeah. And if we just take some time, that's like, okay, I'm actually, like, I told my husband today, we've had something every single night for like the last 2 weeks, and they've been really fun, good things. But I said, I will do nothing on Saturday. Like, nothing. I'm driving nobody anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I will be sitting in my couch. I will do nothing. And he was like, good luck with that. And I was like, right. Come at me.
Yeah, right.
Test me.
Right.
I'm doing nothing.
Oh my gosh. Good for you. Draw a line in the sand.
And I agree. Yeah. And I think that just, it comes down to that. And so often, like, we're the gatekeepers. Like, we can actually make those decisions. Like, we can say no more. We really can. And
right.
So I think whether it's no to, like, toxic conversations, or if it's no to picking up your phone again, or if it's no to going somewhere, like, say no. It's okay.
Yes.
Like, we're totally going to be okay. So.
Yes. 100%. I love that.
Kelsey, I so much enjoyed our conversation. Thank you just for sharing your heart and for just like being really real with us. It really means a lot that you would trust us with your story, that you would write this book, and that you would just share your high highs and low lows with us, that you would take what happened with you and for you and to you and use it for good. Like, it really means a lot to us.
Thank you so much. And thank you for giving me a safe space to share. You know, a lot of people are afraid to have difficult conversations. And I knew going into this one that that wouldn't be the case. And so thank you for also giving us a space to have these real talks, you know, and I think it's good, it's poignant, and it's very important. And so it's been such an honor to be a part of today's conversation. I really appreciate it.
Okay, friend, I hope that you enjoyed meeting Kelsey today. I hope that her story encouraged you to share your own story in however or whatever way you feel necessary or that's possible. Kelsey's story is so powerful, and I'm just so thankful for her voice, both in her singing and in her storytelling. And I just want to encourage you, go check out her video with her husband Caleb and Kelsey on YouTube, where they sing Never Enough. Oh my gosh, they sing Never Enough from The Greatest Showman. It is my very favorite video of theirs, and favorite song that they sing. So go check that out, and be sure to jump over to Instagram, thank Kelsey for having coffee with us, and check out her book Over It. It is linked in my Amazon storefront and in the description of this show, or on the show notes on itstimeforcoffeepod.com. Okay, friend, I hope you have the best day ever. Reminds me of my friend Jess Massey saying that. I hope you have a good week. I hope that today you are met with sunshine and coffee, and if you are cold, then a nice warm jacket and a fireplace. Oh, I don't know what I'm saying. I hope you have a great day, and I'll talk to you next week when it's time for coffee.
Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.